I lay on my back, staring up at a corrugated metal ceiling, then looked around at a dim, ugly, forlorn-looking auto shop. The nagging sense of familiarity increased. The only doors leading out were chained shut and padlocked on the inside, and no keys were in sight. Crane stood over me, looking down, smiling, as tall and dark and handsome as you please. My eyes went past him to Rawlins. The dark-skinned cop stood leaning against the wall, one wrist cuffed to a metal ring in a steel support beam. A bruise, severe enough to show even on his dark skin, covered one cheek entirely. Rawlins looked calm, remote, and unafraid. I was fairly sure it was only an act, but if so, it was a good one. "Crane," I said, "what do you want?" He smiled a nasty smile. "To build the future," he replied. "Networking is very important in my business." "Cut the crap and talk," I said in a flat tone. The smile vanished. "You would be wise not to anger me, wizard. You're hardly in a position to make demands. If you were going to kill me, you'd have done it by now." Crane let out a rueful laugh. "I suppose that's true enough. I was going to finish you and drop you in the lake, but imagine my surprise when I made some calls, and it turns out that you're infamous," I suggested. "Tough, a good dancer." Crane showed me his teeth. "Marketable. For an insignificant young man, you've managed to irritate a great many people." A little chill went through me. I kept it off my face. Crane's eyes glittered anyway. "Ah, yes, fear." He inhaled deeply, his smile turning smug. "You're smart enough to know when you are powerless, at least. In my experience, most wizards are fairly cowardly when push comes to shove." I felt a hot reply coming, but again I set my anger aside temporarily. Crane was trying to push my buttons. He could only get away with it if I allowed him to do so. I met his dark eyes and let one corner of my mouth tilt up into a smile. "In my experience," I replied, gaze unwavering, "people who have underestimated me regretted it." I didn't feel like being drawn into a soul gaze with Crane, but I had little to lose. If nothing else, it might provide me with some valuable insight to his character. Crane's nerve broke first. He turned to walk away from me, pretending that he'd just received a call on his cell phone. He already had a new one. He stood in the shadows on the other side of the room. I spat more metal taste out of my mouth and wished I had a glass of water. Glau sat in a chair nearby, watching me. The little man had a gun resting in his lap, in hand, and ready to go. A briefcase sat on the floor beside his chair. "You," I said. Glau looked at me without any readable expression. "You killed my dog," I said. "Get your affairs in order." Something ugly flickered through his eyes.
"An idle threat. You will not live to see the dawn."
"You'd best hope I do," I said, "because if I go down, I know where my death curse is going." Glau's lips peeled back from his teeth, and I swear to God that they were pointed. Not like a vampire's fangs or a ghoul's canines, but in solid, serrated triangles, like a shark. He rose, the gun twitching in his hand.
"Glau!"
snapped Crane. Glau froze for a second, and then relaxed and let the gun fall to his side. Crane shoved the cell phone into his pocket and stalked over to me. "Keep your tongue in your mouth, wizard." "Or what?" I asked. "You'll kill me? From where I'm standing, that isn't a worst-case scenario." "True," Crane murmured. He withdrew a small handgun from his pocket and, without so much as blinking, shot Rawlins in the foot. The big cop jerked against the cuffs that held him, his face contorted in surprised pain, and he fell. The cuffs, fastened to the beam at shoulder level, cut cruelly into his wrists. Rawlins got his legs underneath him and let out a string of sulphurous curse words. Crane regarded Rawlins for a moment, smiled, and then pointed the gun at the cop's head.
"No!"
I shouted.
"It's entirely up to you, wizard, whether or not his children lose their father. Behave,"
He smiled again. We'll all be happier. Again, the rage threatened to drown any rational thought in my head. Threatening me is one thing. Threatening someone else to get to me is another. I'm sick of seeing decent people suffer. I'm sick of seeing them die.